Crawford on tenor sax, Jimmy McGriff on organ with The Real Deal. It's from their 1987 release, Steppin' Up. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trace Lead. And I have no idea what we're using for foreign policy anymore. I have no clue. It seems as if, well, Trump gets up one morning and says, well, let's go have a meeting and whatever it is they cook up. Well, that's the foreign policy. Of course, I'm being a bit glib here, but it has that feel to it. And so we'll talk about what your impressions are of the just concluded bizarre turn of events in hammering out what President Trump calls foreign policy. As you know, the president caused quite a stir. He likes to. You know, this is his thing. If I can't get my way and it's all about me and, you know, I get all the kudos. He doesn't have a good history of working well with people. He doesn't know how to do that. He has to dominate. He has to just take the lead and everybody else must follow. If they do that, then it's great. It's a great arrangement. But he does not do well in a situation that calls for cooperation and even a hint that all parties are, at least with regard to the issue at hand, equal. He doesn't do well with that at all. So he comes in like a bully, and if it's not going the way he wants it to go, he'll just flip the table. All the marbles go on the floor, and he walks off. And afterwards, he has another kind of tantrum, which is to let loose on his so-called enemies. Because people would insist on the process being cooperative. They're not there. He's not the ruler of the universe, and people are not there to do his personal bidding. And he just doesn't get that. But more importantly, the apparatus of government in the United States just doesn't seem to get, again, He's showing time and again that there's something wrong with our president. This is not normal behavior. A grown man in his 70s behaving like this in the most outrageous fashion. He's allowed to do it. Nobody in Congress seems to be able to say, hey, you know what? You keep this up, and we will have to, in order to protect our country, we will have to find some way to contain you or to take you out of office. We can't have you running around behaving this way, embarrassing the nation, and corrupting a process that people have invested in for so long to just see if they could move together. And in comes Trump, and whatever is done is just not good, and he will absolutely tear it up. And he switches. Psychologically, he switches. He becomes something else. Rabid and nasty and vitriolic. And it is no longer about what people are trying to accomplish and achieve. It is that they're not doing what he wants them to do. This is appalling behavior. But again, we see an indulgence that I can't understand. I cannot understand what it is that grown people elected to office to safeguard this nation, they are direct witnesses to the bizarre behavior of the president. And we do not hear a call from any quarter for a psychiatric evaluation of this president and taking measures, because he's had the benefit of time and the benefit of doubt, and he's only confirmed that it's getting worse. And worse in an area where we can't afford to have, you know, surprises. We can't afford to have one person literally tear asunder the efforts not only of people in his own administration, but other their counterparts all around the world. Now, I listened to the news coverage very astutely, listened to it very carefully, and nobody, not one report that I listened to or read, suggested that the President of the United States does not have the temperament and the capacity for leadership, and that there is something wrong with the president. And until it is discovered, and, you know, with some kind of precision, what is going on here, he should not be allowed to lead this country. I wasn't joking when I said there's something wrong with the president. I said it from the very beginning, something wrong with him. And people are inclined to just say, well, yeah, that's just Trump being Trump. Yeah, well, I also read in the last couple of days about a doctor. She was a plastic surgeon And she would dance. She has a thing about dancing. People are literally under the knife. And she is dancing in the operating room. Of course, it led to a number of complaints, deformities, people suffering very serious relapses as a result of the way she conducted her medical practice. This doctor is now, her license has been revoked, and she has become a pariah within her field, as it should be. People are putting their lives in your hands, and they're paying to have these cosmetic procedures done. And you just think of it as the appropriate time, the perfect time to do your dance routines in the operating room. Obviously, there's something wrong with you. People knew it, but did nothing. It is only because of several patients who have filed lawsuits against her and so forth that she came to the attention of the state board and other authorities and even the police. But you can see that this was not something that just happened once or intermittently. It was her thing. And since she's a doctor, a cosmetologist doctor, what do you call them? A plastic surgeon. Since she had the power to do whatever she wanted in her operating room as she saw it, what is the fuss? People went along with it. It's the same thing with our president. Donald Trump has been exhibiting for years a kind of behavior that would trouble anybody who discovers that he is to play a major role in something critical to our country. You wouldn't want to entrust Donald Trump with certain things based on his history of erratic behavior. You wouldn't want to do that. But since taking office and having had the opportunity to observe this president up close, in situations that matter very much to this country and to other countries for that matter. And we see the bizarreness of his conduct and his behavior. And there is little suggestion that this is a problem. Well, you know, he's just Donald. That's just his way. As if that suffices. And we saw it now with this meeting in Quebec of the G7 nations. He doesn't know how to behave. He can't behave. I mean, just behave. A small request like that. You know, people not asking anything more. Just could you just behave and not embarrass your country? comes in with an agenda. It doesn't matter what the agenda is, as put forward by a group.
All right.
This is a group of nations trying to come to some kind of consensus on how they can tackle some of the major problems, global problems of the day. How could they, in a cooperative sense, come together to tackle some of these problems? Okay, so people have differences of opinion in how to, you know, probably approach the problems or solve the problems or whatever it is. But he comes in with a sledgehammer. It's his intention. He comes in late, he leaves early, and he makes an absolute mess of things while he's there. Oh, he's happy. He's thrown a lot of good effort right out the window, because it must be about him. He must dominate. The good ideas must be his and recognized as his. This is a very serious psychological problem. And he's acting like a spoiled kid, a tyrant of a small kid. And people are supposed to put up with it. And then when he leaves, like a coward, he starts pumping out this drivel on his Twitter account about people he didn't like, people who might have upstaged him, people he believes and resents as being brighter than he is, more capable than he is. And he conducts his own vitriolic campaign. Look, this is not, we are not supposed to put up with this. This is not supposed to be the conduct of a president, anywhere, but especially here in the United States. It is time, I think, for people to, in the Congress, we did have a group of psychiatrists who had pointed out the irregular nature of the president's conduct just day to day. They had expressed concern that the president's psychological makeup deserves a serious, in-depth look. But we have not had, from the legislative part, whether the House or Congress, they seem uninterested in the idea that the president of the United States could be our country's worst enemy. Now, how is foreign policy done anyway? Is it from the mind of Zeus? You know, he gets up one morning and says, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then it becomes policy. Or are these matters for which we understand as citizens the country is prepared to back up, as it very often does? It wags that finger. You may recall that the first expression of this new administration at the United Nations, when I remarked that the tone of our representative, the ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, was that of a thug spoiling for a fight in the parking garage. And she has her brass knuckles in her purse. That is a carryover, and that she had a correct reading of how she should behave in order to gain approval of the president. So you have Mike Pompeo. Again, everybody's acting like, you know, they're spoiling for a fight. And doing and saying outrageous things and calling it foreign policy. No, you're behaving like a thug. That's all it is. You're cussing people out. You're creating deep divisions where people are trying to come together. You are on one course to totally break up any possibility of cooperation. You want war. You want a fight. And you are telling the world that the American people approve of this. This is what you are, the representatives of the American people. And the American people are a bunch of thugs spoiling for a fight at every turn. And that essentially is the tone of our foreign policy. It is so outrageous. And what is more outrageous is that it has become, in such a short time, the norm. We see no real pushback in the House or in the Senate or even among people in that world. Because Trump is God. He is running the country. It's his personal property. The only thing he hasn't yet done, and he's done it figuratively, not literally yet, is put up a Trump sign on America. I own this joint. You just happen to be here. I don't have to listen to you. And if you are going to work with me, you have to be a thug like me. A bombastic thug. And that's what we've got. And in every sphere in which he operates, it's the same boring attitude. I'm in charge. I may not know anything, but I'm in charge. The president actually said that he didn't need to prepare for a meeting with Kim Jong-un, the leader of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. He didn't need to prepare. Now, you know you have to be insane to say something like that, and worse, to believe it. Winging it. You could do that with your businesses, and he did, and that's why so many of them failed, went bankrupt, because of this casual attitude, and it's predicated on one thing. I am so brilliant, nothing I do could possibly go wrong. I don't have to especially prepare for anything. I could just walk in and wing it because he's a hustler, you see. He can hustle foreign affairs. He can hustle world summits. He can hustle his way through. The quintessential hustler. And he believes that that standard should be regarded as a gift. And we should have no objection to a president of the United States who has zero intention of being properly prepared for something. So this last outing of the president in an international arena where people are very well educated, whether you agree with them or not, they can argue their position, and they are trying to work together, a concept Trump has no respect for. They're trying to work together to fix some of the awful problems that we are saddled with today. You may recall that one of them is climate change. Well, you know Trump's attitude about climate change. It's just so, it has reached a point of being, what could I call it? You know, when you so betray even the simplest tenets of your profession, whatever your profession is, you have so little respect for your own involvement in that field and others in that field. And we tolerate it. We are tolerating this psychotic behavior. This is not a personality quirk. This is not about a guy being, well, you know, he's got his own little hang-ups. This is a person who is seriously ill. I've been saying that. And something ought to compel the so-called leaders of this nation to do something. If he wants individually to go down the road to hell in a handbasket, that's up to him. But where does he derive the power and authority to take us there, to send us there? And you know, the cute thing is, he's not going with us. He's not going with us. He's just making it very possible and inevitable that we have to go there. You look at how he handles policy making. You look at the people who are part of his cabinet, a bunch of thieves, people who have come up with elaborate schemes even early in the game of how to squeeze the taxpayer and how to get what they want, whether it is a private telephone booth costing more than $40,000, or free trips to wherever it is you want to go, first class. It's a bunch of small-minded, sniveling thieves, con men and women. They're not dealing with the people's business. They're dealing with their own survival first. That's the priority. And in a way, you have to say they are doing what they see being done. The president's family is still continuing. There's a report that just last year, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump made more than $80 million without having to do much work. This year, Ivanka Trump has come up with, surprisingly, 17 more licenses to produce goods and materials in China, which will earn her tens, if not hundreds, of millions of dollars. So all of this crookedness going on, all of this stuff, we're seeing it, and nobody's doing anything about it. It's easier, they say, to just let it ride, and hopefully somebody else will be in office. But that's not the point. The point is, it's happening now. And the danger is right now. And we don't have in Congress or practically any place else a chorus of right-minded people saying, listen, this cannot continue. We're all going to suffer. We're all going to pay the price. So we look at this, as I said, this most recent outing, and you see the degree to which Trump's instability, I'm not a professional psychiatrist, but you can see it. This is not normal behavior. It shouldn't be. You come in late, you're unprepared, but you're angry because you have just one mission, and it's about you. Other people are engaged in productive work, cooperative work, and they're dealing with issues you have no interest in. You have no interest in climate change. You have no interest in migrants and the problems of migrants worldwide. You have no interest in any of that. So you come in late. And then you come in late, plotting and planning in your own head that you're going to create drama. You're going to turn everything upside down. You're just going to be a bull in a china shop. You're just going to destroy. You have nothing to contribute. On the other side, you have nothing to contribute that is compatible with what the leaders of seven other nations belonging to the G7 bloc. You have nothing to contribute but dissension and disruption and destruction and bad, bad attitudes. But you would notice that just the same, they managed to continue without you. They managed to continue their work. They managed to avoid any direct confrontation with you. They're not interested in that. But still, Americans believe, oh, Trump did the right thing. He really gave them a what for. And this is something I think we really need to look at and insist. This conduct by the president suggests deeper, deeper problems that will directly affect policies being made and the consequences of those policies. I'll take a break, come back and find out what you think right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and the number to call is 888-874-4888. We start out with Clara from Philadelphia. Hello, Clara.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you today?
I'm hanging in. How about you?
I'm fine, actually. I can hear that you're rather upset about what's going on here with the person in the White House, but my focus remains beyond him. I don't believe that this man would be allowed to do this, to wreak this kind of havoc. If the people who are really running this place, referred to often as the deep state, didn't want it, and if the people in some way didn't want it, he's a reflection of what this nation is all about. Plundering, killing, stealing from the very beginning. There's something called karma, and I believe in it. You see, he's isolating this country from the rest of the so-called free world, cozying up to dictators anywhere he can make money. That's what these people are about. He actually discussed the possibility of building hotels on the beaches of North Korea with Kim. He has no regard for this country. This country is going down. We have to go down. This country is based on lies, bullying, plundering. See, the thing is, nothing's been done to deal with any of the bad deeds. You just sweep them under the rug. Pretty soon that rug gets so high, it spills out on the perpetrator. All that crap that he referred to when he described the countries in Africa. Well, this country is becoming what goes into those receptacles that he described in Africa. I'm not unhappy about the way things are going. It has to end. We're all going to suffer, but we'll come out ahead in this world with this country out of the lead. Now, Putin has already said that he is not going to look to the West as he pursues his dream of making Russia the number one country in the world. I don't think he's interested in going around bullying people. He does things differently. So do the Chinese. And I'm saying that what's happening now has to happen. That's all I have to say.
Some would say that is a fatalistic view, that you accept that there's nothing you can do.
I can do something. I think we can do something. That's the thing. I think what we can do is take care of ourselves and the people we love and spread the truth about what has happened and what is happening and what the possibilities are. I do not feel, see, I don't have hope. Hope is very passive. But I work hard at understanding and pursuing the truth and being persistent about it. But this thing about hope, that's too passive. You got to do things, look at the situation, and prepare for what's coming. And it's not going to happen in just one generation. I'm looking at what's going to happen to my expected grandchild. And I live accordingly. And I know people, a few people, who have that idea. I don't think many of us will survive. But that's just the way it is. I believe there's a universe in charge. We have free will, and we're acting it out.
You got us started, Clara. Thank you for your thoughts and the sincerity with which you offer them. I really do appreciate that. Thank you so much. From South Carolina, Khalil, what do you say?
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in. Thank you. How are you?
I have to agree with Clara, because usually you're very clinical, You're not sounding so clinical today, but, you know, it's okay. We're dealing with a lot, you know. And we've been saying this. I know you've been saying it. A few of us have been saying it. But as a former New Yorker, I think you're a former New Yorker.
Yes.
You know, this person has always been a little bit off. But between the age and whatever else, maybe venereal disease, who knows. You know, he's absolutely, and I don't know if I told you before, but you see, my degree is in psychology. And he is absolutely a sociopath. Now, we hear people in the media always say he's a narcissistic. And that's you know, that's okay to a degree. It's not great. You know, it's a borderline personality disorder. However, when you combine all these different issues that this man has going on, in addition to being a white supremacist and having a history of being racist, it's frightening. And the way you presented your argument was, I think, was very good, because there's a number of things we have to look at. And as you said, the people who we elect to represent us, because I can't go to the state house. I can't go, you know, in South Carolina, where Nikki Haley and the other guy, Mulvaney, both of those people are from my state, okay? And they are both off also in a little bit, but they're reckless. But the problem is that he's unstable and he has incompetent thieves around him, like you said. But, you know, this is like a perfect storm. But the reason that the people who know better, okay, like you said, these folks have educations. They know history better than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is an ignoramus. I don't care where he went to school. A lot of people go to school. It doesn't mean you learn anything. So he has no sense of history. And I blame the media also, because for some reason it's distasteful to talk about the rise of Nazi Germany. And you could just insert Trump's name, and it's like, wow, let's see, he demeaned the press like from the very beginning. I mean, this is years even before he announced that he was going to run, when he was running around with this birther nonsense about Obama. You see, he was denouncing the press, and that's the Lügen press, and you see, that's what the Nazis did in Germany. That's the first thing you do if you're going to reinsert your own government and displace the real government. And that's, in fact, what he's doing. Remember, he's got Pompeo as his stooge now. You know, he had him at CIA, which is dangerous, so he, you know, I wouldn't give him access to any sensitive materials, but I don't want to get too far afield. So the reason the GOP is backing this guy is because they're getting what they want out of him. They're getting a whole lot of federal judges who are very conservative, and they're getting tax cuts. And see, we're dealing with a rabble problem, and it's not nice to talk about. It's not polite. But you know what? In psychology, a lot of psychology is statistics. That's really what it is statistics. And what we're doing is regressing to the mean. And we're letting the rabble, the least educated of us, the folks who should be listening instead of telling other people what to do, they're a little bit loud, okay, and they're restless. And they didn't like the fact that there was a black guy in that White House. So they're willing to accept anything as long as it is not that black guy. Because when you have sections of society saying, well, someone is too professorial, but they're president, well, they're just, you know, they're too professorial. Like, what do you want, the garbage man as president? There's nothing wrong with being a garbage man. But not as president. Okay, so the longer this probe goes on with Mueller, this mental illness is going to really present, okay? It's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse every day. His behavior has become more aberrant. Now, if you remember the non-Eagles celebration, the Philadelphia Eagles, where they didn't want to come, so he had a military band play because he's like 6 years old. He looked absolutely insane. I know he's insane, but he presented physically as insane. So then we fast forward to Mr. Trudeau. Okay. Now, I can't stress how disturbing that was. This besides Britain, this is our closest ally. You know, we're contiguous and we share a border. You know, these are serious issues. These are serious issues. And I really believe it is time. We did have that group of psychiatrists. One lady was at Yale, and she spearheaded it, Yale or Harvard. But it got some traction for a week or two. But it didn't really pick up. And I think the closer this Mueller investigation gets to him, it's getting to his children. And it's going to be getting to him pretty soon, because if we look at the geopolitics of what just happened in Korea, you have to look at who benefits from every situation a lot of times to see what motivates an organism, okay? So really, China and Russia are benefiting from what just happened with Korea. Because really, nothing happened except that Korea was able to come to the table with the United States, which is what they always wanted. Now, we don't even have detente with them. It's been closed. You know, do these people not even understand how to negotiate? You go in and you make something simple. Oh, do you like chocolate cake? Yes, I like chocolate cake. Oh, great. We agree on chocolate cake. You know, start like that. This is absolutely unacceptable. Now, and what I'm getting at is that not only is this man mentally ill, but he is actually a Russian asset. And this is almost not even debatable anymore. Every move he makes, if you look at who it benefits, it's what the former Soviet Union, it's what Russia would like to do, is destabilize the West. So, you know, it's just a terrible situation.
Well, we have to make sense of it, and just the same, and we have to be aware that sometimes, you know, you presented a picture, but you never presented an analysis of the picture. You know, maybe you have to analyze what we're seeing. And we're seeing it headed exactly in a predictable direction. If you really look at what Trump says he believes, he has not gone off course at all. He's right on course. His actions are matching his beliefs. But they are the beliefs and actions of a person who is, in my view, a very unstable person. And just the same, a person, though unstable, having extraordinary access to power and authority. And this is what troubles me, that we're not reading that. Thanks, Khalil, for your call today. Jerry from New York, what are your thoughts?
Hi, Dutrice. I just totally disagree with you, and I disagree with your callers on many, many issues. But I always have an open mind, and I always view. But I find that that's not done, with yourself included, mainly because you give such a biased, jaded point of view of things that happen. You just pick little scenarios of something that's happened, and you twist it, and you infer a lot. You infer what you think the president's thinking at this time. And this gentleman that you just had on, I have a psychiatric background myself, so there's nothing wrong with the president, and he shouldn't be making any claims like that, because you don't make claims like that until you fully evaluated somebody in a full clinical evaluation. You would not make those calls. And people can say whatever they want because it fits their narrative. But we have to stop preaching the hate and preaching unity. And I didn't like Obama. I didn't vote for him. But I sure supported him as my president. I supported him. I wouldn't denigrate him and do all these terrible things that you people are doing. De Niro saying all this shameful stuff. Canada, I forget his name right now, but Trudeau stabbing him in the back. So it's okay for him to stab the president in the back, when he leaves and is not upfront with him, and he wants to stick up for his people. So why isn't it okay for Trump to stick up for our nation? Because you know what? Everything starts at home first. Let's heal our country. Let's get the money back in our country. Why would we be billions of dollars, you know, in deficit to these people? Let's bring the money back here. Raise up our people in every community across the United States. Let's give all that money back. People like universal care. I am not for universal care. I think London and England have, with that child, letting that child die and many other issues. Anybody who's in universal care does not like it. But I just, it has to stop. And Russia and China are our enemies, and they're only out for themselves, and they are bullies. Just if anybody can't really see the compassion and the, I don't agree with everything Trump says and does and all his points of view, but I wish he'd stop tweeting. I'd wish he'd maybe say things. He's not a polished politician, to say the least, but he is only out for the good of this country. And I don't understand why people can't at least back. I mean, the things that you talk about, impeachment, and today you're talking about who has to rein him in. Why can't anybody support the president that's in power, whether you voted him for not? I support every president that's in power, whether I voted for him or not. And you look for the good in them. But sometimes you're like a Debbie Downer and you're preaching, you know, that there won't be unity in this country. Let's preach in a way that to support, maybe we could point out the negatives, but let's point out the positives also. And bring everybody together.
I appreciate your points of view. I disagree vehemently with them, because they take a simplistic view of the complex life that we are living. It is not about, let's support the president. It's about, this president has given us more than enough indications that he's not right in his thinking. And therefore, since his thinking informs his actions, we are seeing bizarre actions being taken, and in our name. Now, if we were to have to go to war, do you think Trump will go to war? He dodged the draft five times, and yet he's a firm believer in war. His sons have never served in the military. His father didn't serve in the military. So when a person with that kind of a background starts, you know, pumping war and talking about war and always threatening war, if you leave that necessary part out, you can say, well, there is a dichotomy here in what he truly believes. I was not a Barack Obama fan, but I'm clear. He did some things that were good, and he did a lot that wasn't. So the inference I'm getting at is, simply because he was a black president does not mean that I support him. I did not support Jesse Jackson for president, because I'm a thinking person. And I see how actions and even the expressed philosophies simply don't match up with what's happening on the ground. It's the same thing I think of Bernie Sanders. I've talked about it here. Bernie Sanders says one thing, his actions don't match what he's saying. So I raise questions about that. The question and the issues that I'm raising about Donald Trump is, we are ignoring the blatant signs that there's something wrong with this president. And yet he holds the future of this country in his hands and that of much of the world. So I see the contradictions. And I see the unwillingness of people to ask the right questions. And in so doing, they go along because they're not thinking. If you're a thinking person, you would be scared like hell right now about where this country is and who has the power here. you would be out of your mind with worry and fear. It wasn't always like this. The people had some degree of control or influence over how things were developing, but that's gone. Not with this president. He just executed an agreement, and the reporters are reporting that. The news, he has come to an agreement. Well, what is it? Nobody knows. They're reporting what they don't know. And they don't know, but they're not asking the questions in order to know. So that's my view. I think, you know, whatever your views are, I respect them. I disagree with them. Because I have a low problem. I don't like being hustled. And this government has been hustling people. So I feel pretty much like, you know, Pierre Trudeau. They got hustled. And they didn't like it. Perhaps it's the first indication that the hustler in Trump is being checked. Well, we've come to the end of the program today. I thank you very much for participating and expressing your views. We shouldn't be afraid to express our views, and no matter what they are. But can you back it up? That's the question. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Infectious Myths with David Crowe. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thank you so much for your contribution today.